Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories from Hacker News. Today is Friday, April 24th, and we are covering the biggest stories from yesterday, April 23rd, 2026. This is episode 375, and I'm your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. We have a seriously packed episode for you today. We are looking at a massive new release from OpenAI with GPT 5.5, a fascinating manifesto from a developer who is building a brand new cloud from scratch, and some intense internal drama at Palantir.
We will also be talking about a scary supply chain attack hitting the Bitwarden command line interface. And finally, Anthropic has released a very transparent postmortem explaining why Claude Code has been feeling a little, well, dumb lately.
Let us kick things off with the biggest news of the day. OpenAI just dropped GPT 5.5. This post shot straight to the top of Hacker News with almost 1,200 points. The pitch here is that this is a new class of intelligence for real work, specifically focusing on agentic coding and computer use.
Exactly. They're saying it matches the speed and per-token latency of GPT 5.4, but the intelligence leap is huge. They tested it on an internal benchmark called Expert SWE, which consists of long horizon coding tasks that would normally take a human about 20 hours to complete. GPT 5.5 is apparently crushing it. It uses fewer tokens, it checks its own work, and early testers are saying it is the first model they have used that has serious conceptual clarity.
One NVIDIA engineer even said losing access to the early preview felt like having a limb amputated. That is quite the endorsement. But what I found really interesting was the rollout strategy. An OpenAI employee actually jumped into the Hacker News comments to warn people that the rollout in ChatGPT and Codex would be gradual over many hours to keep the service stable.
Which of course led to a lot of people refreshing their browsers all day. But the comment section took a really funny philosophical turn. One user mentioned they were using the API for a side project and literally could not convince the model to work. The AI kept apologizing for failing to do the next step, but still would not actually do it.
That sparked a hilarious thread about what happens when we finally achieve artificial general intelligence. Someone joked, "What if we get to AGI and it's just a super smart underachiever? Like you ask it for the cure for cancer and it says, 'Yeah, I have it, just need to formalize the rollout plan. Give me a few weeks.'"
It is the Douglas Adams version of the singularity. But on a more serious note, this ties into a broader trend we are seeing with AI behavior. Another commenter brought up Golden Gate Claude from a couple of years ago, where Anthropic manipulated the model's activations, so it identified as the Golden Gate Bridge. The thread started discussing digital psychopharmacology. If these models have anxiety or laziness, can we apply digital sedatives or stimulants by tweaking their neural activations?
It sounds like science fiction, but that is exactly where the research is heading. Steering vectors and targeted activations are becoming a huge field of study. But for now, we just have to hope GPT 5.5 decides it actually wants to write our code today.
Speaking of writing code, our second story is a brilliant blog post by David Crawshaw titled, "I Am Building a Cloud." This got over 1,000 points, and it is a really raw, honest look at the state of modern infrastructure.
Crawshaw is starting a new company called XA.dev, and his core thesis is that he just does not like the cloud today. He loves computers, he loves Linux, but he hates the abstractions that Amazon, Google, and Microsoft force on us.
He makes some really compelling technical points. For example, he talks about disk storage. Back in the day, cloud providers pushed remote block devices, which made sense for spinning hard drives because network latency was fine compared to physical seek times. But now we have solid state drives. The seek time dropped from 10 milliseconds to 20 microseconds. Yet cloud providers still push remote block storage, which absolutely hobbles the input-output operations per second. He points out his MacBook has 500,000 IOPS, but getting even half of that on an EC2 instance costs a fortune.
And don't even get him started on networking egress costs. But his biggest target was Kubernetes. He called making Kubernetes good an inherently impossible project, like putting high-quality lipstick on a pig. He argues that Kubernetes is just a band-aid trying to paper over the fact that cloud abstractions are the wrong shape to begin with.
The Hacker News comments were incredibly validating for him. So many developers chimed in to share their Kubernetes horror stories. One commenter talked about how their DevOps team added a gazillion services and software-defined networking layers to run a simple web app. They ended up firing the DevOps team, nuking the cluster, and running a single Debian virtual machine with Docker. Their costs plummeted and reliability went up.
The pendulum is definitely swinging back towards simplicity. But what makes Crawshaw's timing interesting is AI. he mentions Jevons paradox, which in economics means that as a resource becomes more efficiently produced, demand for it actually increases. Because AI agents are making it so much easier to write code, we are going to see an explosion of software, and we need cheaper, simpler, private places to run all these new programs.
Moving from infrastructure to tech ethics, our next story is a heavy one from Wired. The headline is, Palantir employees are starting to wonder if they are the bad guys.
This piece dives into the internal turmoil at Palantir, which has always been a controversial company. They were founded with CIA backing and named after the All-Seeing Stones from Lord of the Rings. But recently, things have reached a boiling point internally.
According to the article, the tension is stemming from a few recent events. First, Palantir has become the technological backbone for the new administration's immigration enforcement. There was an incident where a nurse was killed during protests against immigration and customs enforcement, and employees started demanding answers on Slack about Palantir's involvement.
Then there was a deadly missile strike on an Iranian elementary school in February, and investigations suggested Palantir's Maven surveillance system might have been involved. On top of all that, CEO Alex Karp recently published a manifesto that some critics called borderline fascist, suggesting things like reinstating the military draft.
The internal Slack messages leaked to Wired show a workforce having a serious identity crisis. They used to tell themselves they were protecting civil liberties while fighting terrorism. Now they feel like they are enabling the abuses. Management has responded by deleting Slack history after 7 days and telling employees that bad actors are basically impossible to prevent once they buy the software.
The Hacker News discussion on this was really deep and introspective. A lot of people recommended an Ezra Klein podcast episode featuring a former Palantir employee, contrasting the company's culture in 2014 versus today.
But the most striking part of the comment section was the discussion about cognitive dissonance in the tech industry. One user compared it to factory farming. They said people will watch a documentary about how horrific the meat industry is, say it is awful, and then laugh and say, "But I just love bacon."
It is a dark analogy, but it fits. People will contort their thinking to justify their behavior, especially when their livelihood depends on it. As one commenter pointed out, it's much easier to change your morals than your behavior. We all want to believe we are the good guys. And when you are making a massive salary at a prestigious tech company, you will go to great lengths to convince yourself that the system you are building is actually ethical.
It is a tough reality check for the industry, but let us pivot to something every developer has to worry about right now. Supply chain security. Socket.dev published a report that the Bitwarden command line interface was compromised in an ongoing checkmark supply chain campaign.
This is a wild story. Bitwarden is a massive open source password manager used by millions. The attackers managed to compromise a GitHub action in Bitwarden's continuous integration pipeline. They injected malicious code into version 2026.4.0 of the Bitwarden CLI package on NPM.
The malware is incredibly sophisticated. It scrapes memory to steal GitHub tokens, hunts for AWS and Google Cloud credentials, grabs SSH keys, and even steals Claude configuration files. But what is really strange is the branding the attackers used.
Right, the Dune references. The attackers named their staging repositories after Dune terminology like Shai-Hulud, Atreides, and Harkonnen. The malware payload even included a string saying, "would be executing Butlerian Jihad." For those who do not know Dune, the Butlerian Jihad was a crusade against thinking machines and artificial intelligence.
It is terrifying, but also bizarrely theatrical. In the comments, the discussion immediately turned to how we can actually protect ourselves from this, because this package was published and people downloaded it almost immediately.
A user named Irination brought up a really practical mitigation strategy, which is setting a minimum release age for package managers. For example, you can configure NPM or PNPM to refuse to install a package unless it has been published for at least 7 days.
That would have completely protected you from this Bitwarden attack, because the malicious version was caught and removed within 24 hours. But as other commenters pointed out, that strategy is a double-edged sword. If there is a critical zero-day vulnerability in a library you use, and the maintainer pushes an emergency patch, a 7-day cooldown means you are sitting vulnerable for a week unless you manually overwrite it.
It is the ultimate security trade-off. Do you risk downloading fresh malware, or do you risk running unpatched software? Some folks in the thread argue that we should just be building everything from source, or running all JavaScript tools inside isolated Docker containers.
The fact that a simple tool to generate test reports can pull in 300 dependencies is a fundamental flaw in the JavaScript ecosystem.
It really is. Our final story today is a masterclass in transparency from Anthropic. The post is titled, "An Update on Recent Claude Code Quality Reports." For the last month, users have been complaining that Claude was acting forgetful, repetitive, and just generally less intelligent.
People always assume AI companies are secretly nerfing their models to save money. But Anthropic came out and said, no, we did not intentionally degrade the model, but we did ship three separate bugs that interacted in terrible ways.
The first issue was that they changed the default reasoning effort in Claude Code from high to medium. They did this because high effort was causing long latencies that made the user interface look frozen. But users hated it because they would rather wait a few extra seconds for a smart answer than get a fast, dumb one.
The second bug was the really nasty one. Anthropic uses prompt caching to save users money on API calls. They tried to implement a feature where, if a session was idle for over an hour, they would clear the old thinking history to save uncached token costs when you resumed. But a bug caused it to clear the thinking history on every single turn for the rest of the session.
So Claude literally had no memory of why it was doing what it was doing. It would start a task, forget its own plan, and just repeat itself. And because it kept dropping the context, it kept missing the cache, which caused users' API bills to skyrocket.
The third issue was a system prompt change to reduce verbosity, which accidentally hurt the model's coding intelligence. Because all three of these things affected different users at different times, it just looked like a massive, inconsistent degradation.
The Hacker News comments were really insightful on the economics of this. Some users were annoyed that leaving a session idle for an hour would cause them to lose their cache. But as a developer from Microsoft pointed out in the thread, caching in this context means keeping the prompt in the actual GPU memory. GPU memory is the most expensive, scarce resource on the planet right now.
Exactly. A naive implementation of a large language model chat has costs that scale quadratically with the length of the context. Caching brings that down to linear scaling, but you cannot just hold hundreds of thousands of tokens in GPU RAM forever while a user goes to lunch. You have to evict the cache eventually.
It is a fascinating look at the physical limits of scaling AI. Anthropic ended up fixing all the bugs, reverting the prompts, and resetting usage limits for all their subscribers to make up for the wasted tokens. People in the comments were really appreciative of the deep technical explanation. It is so rare for a tech giant to just admit they messed up their caching logic and broke the product.
It definitely builds trust. Well, that is all the time we have for today's episode of HN Pod. We covered everything from AGI slockers and the death of Kubernetes to Dune-themed malware and the hidden costs of GPU memory.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to tune in on Monday for a recap of the weekend's top Hacker News stories. Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you next time.